collections is not for everybody. I've seen many people come in and many people go. It is not for everybody. So you kind of have to have a thick skin sometimes. You have to understand that you are not dealing with fun stuff. It's just not. I like to say we're not dealing with sunshines and roses, you know. I'm not having fun all day, you know. It's difficult.
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We are your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us. Today, my guest is Robert Fagan, VP of Collections and Customer Service for Eastern Funding. He's been with Eastern Funding for 19 years and in the industry for more than 30. Robert has a true passion for the collections industry and looks forward to continuing to grow in it. Robert, thank you so much for joining me today in Collecting Thoughts.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So today for our topic, we're going to be talking about the benefits of using customer centricity to build brand loyalty. But before we jump into that, how about you tell me how you found your way into this industry and continue to stay in it 36 years later?
It's actually an interesting path I took at a very young age. My brother-in-law worked for a company and was facilities manager, and they had an opening at his company, and it was in the mailroom. I said, okay, I'll jump into the corporate world. I really enjoyed it. I got to meet all the department heads, and from there, my big break came when another company called Capelco Capital, which is a finance company in New Jersey, had an opening to run their mailroom. So I left the company I was at. I went to Capelco. I ran the mailroom for 2 or 3 years. And I had a friend on the floor said, hey, I have an opening out in customer service. Do you want to come to the floor? And I said, sure. And, you know, I guess they say timing is everything. We were growing at an astronomical rate at that time. So I hit the floor. I started a customer service. And immediately, 6 months later, I'm in collections. And then from there, I went from a collector to a senior collector to a manager to a workout manager to debt recovery and on and on and on. And that's kind of where, as they say, you know, I cut my teeth there. I learned so much there and was there for a number of years. Wind up leaving there, went to a company, another finance company called CIT in New Jersey as well. And I was there for a good 3 years. And then the opportunity of Eastern Funding was presented to me. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to commute into New York City every day because I was like, wow, I don't know if I want to travel that much. But I took the chance. And 19 years later, it's the best decision that I've ever made.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's a fun story. Mailroom, and then you were hooked into collections.
Yeah, it's like kind of like that Michael J. Fox movie, Secret of My Success, you know?
Yeah, so. For sure. And I empathize with I'm in New Jersey, so I empathize with your decision of whether or not you wanted to commute to New York every day. Good on you.
It is truly the hardest part of the job. It is, it's a good,
I'm sure.
a good hour and a half each way. But again, it's worth it because it's been just such a great experience. It's hard to believe it's 19 years, but it is.
So I find it very unique that you're both the VP of Collections and Customer Service for Eastern Funding. Can you tell me about how those roles overlap?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting because in one phone call, it could be something customer service related, and you kind of wear that hat. But then it could be the next conversation you're having is somebody is delinquent, and it's a different approach, you know? You just kind of go with the flow. It's definitely interesting how they kind of converge into each other. You know, working with the customer service team where, you know, most of the customers they're dealing with are not delinquent, but their issues are, hey, I didn't get my bill or whatever that might be. But then when you flip over to the collection side, you know, you have, you know, the wide variety of issues that you deal with, bounce payments, you know, I can't pay, I'm out of business, you know, so it definitely is two worlds that collide somewhere in the middle. And it's definitely interesting how it all unfolds.
But having that visibility into the entire, you know, you're not just seeing the beginning to the middle and the middle to the end, you're seeing the entire path. So how does that impact how you strategize dealing with the people, especially those who end up in the
collection side of your world.
It can be difficult at times. I don't know if there's a single strategy to it. I just think I like to go by feel. I go by how I kind of go through things and how I manage and how I manage situations. I just go into a situation and I just kind of figure it out as I go. I don't know if there's a particular blueprint on how you're supposed to handle something, because again, every situation is so different. And I can't tell you after all these years, I mean, I think I've seen just about everything in 36 years of doing it. I think I have a good base on how to approach each situation based on the amount of years I've been doing it. So I've never been really too worried, like when I jump into a situation, because I probably experienced it probably 10 times over. So I just kind of go with the feel and just be fearless when you go in and just, you know what? There's another person on the other end that needs your help, whether it's a customer service side of it or the collection side. And just my job is to kind of go in there, figure out what the issues are, you know, help that person progress forward.
Absolutely. Going into the customer centricity side of things, as a company focusing on lending to small and medium-sized businesses, how do you feel you're able to differentiate your approach when it comes to emphasizing a customer-centric experience than someone dealing with larger lenders might?
The interesting part for us is we have, I think, close to about 65% repeat business. So it's really important to understand when you are talking to somebody and they may be delinquent, there might be a good chance that that person may be coming back to you for an additional loan. Maybe not now, but maybe in the future. You kind of want to handle that situation with tact, because you don't want to, you know, you want to be this horrible person that they have to deal with. And if the salesperson goes back to them, like, oh my gosh, that guy is terrible to deal with, I'll never come to your company. So you have to kind of ride that fine line and have an understanding in the back of your mind that, you know, this is a person that could come back through based on our history of having 65% repeat business. So it's you just kind of have to handle each situation with some tact, and hopefully those interactions are positive for them, and then we can all kind of move forward.
How do you instruct or lead your team to kind of keeping that in the front of their minds, that while they have a goal to obviously collect the outstanding debt, they also have a goal to maintain this customer-centric approach in case they end up back in the beginning of the life cycle?
Yeah, I think that's something that I talked about in my interview with them, you know, right from the get-go. All my team, including customer service, has probably been with me for at least 5 years or more. My assistant VP of customer service and collection, Ozzy, has been with me for 18 years. So he's been with me the whole way. You know, we kind of preach that to everybody. Say, listen, as hard as this situation might be, this person may come back through to us. So, you know, let's just make sure that we handle people with care and have that understanding. And I think they all do. They really do a good job. Again, collections is not for everybody. I've seen it over the years. I've seen many people come in and many people go. It is not for everybody. So you kind of have to have a thick skin sometimes. You have to understand that you are not dealing with fun stuff. It's just not, you know, I like to say, we're not dealing with sunshines and roses, you know, it's just, I'm not having fun all day. You know, it's difficult, and that's not for everybody. So I think the team that we've assembled really understands our goals. And again, one of those goals is that portfolio that we have is full of customers that, you know, keep coming back to us. So let's make sure that we take care of them in the best way we can.
How big of a role would you say technology plays into this goal of yours, if it plays any role? Do you guys have any kind of way that you help manage what communication preferences that your customers like over other ones, or just what kind of role does technology play?
That's a good question, because I just came back from, I'm an ELFA manager, which is the Equipment Leasing Finance Association. I'm a committee member. So we have a credit and collections conference every year. We just came back from Philly. And one of the topics was AI. And it was a big topic on how it, you know, how it's helping with the not only the credit side, but the collection side. You know, right now we're in the middle of, at Eastern, putting together our portal, payment portal. And through the payment portal, that's where you can go in, the customer can go in now and get their invoices. They can make a payment online. So we've got that up and running now, you know, and we're looking to go paperless with that. You know, so that's been a big thing for us. I'm always out there listening to what's happening and always trying to see how we can improve. So that's definitely one thing. I know that a lot of our guys text. We can text through the Zoom app. So we're on the Zoom app a lot, and they have a phone. Each collector has a phone number, and they can text through the Zoom app, and then that app will actually hold all the text messages that we have. So it's good to do that, and then I can go in and review to make sure that, you know, what we're putting out is appropriate. And you know, so the Zoom app has been a really big thing too. And I've done a lot of meetings through Microsoft Teams. So, you know, we're really, you know, starting to jump into it. And I got a few ideas from the conference that I would like to maybe try to roll out. So, you know, the conference is such a great thing because you're dealing with people that do the same exact thing you do across the country, you know, different portfolios, you know, not the same customers, not the same industries, but we all deal with the same issues, you know, delinquency, losses, whatever it might be. And it's a great way to get together to learn from each other. And I've been doing that for 12 years now, and been a committee member and planning committee member for 10. So it's just a great, I love it. It's 4 days of just getting together with, at this point it's family, because we talk to each other like almost all year. It's just been a great way to get together and just kind of vent maybe, because again, it can be so frustrating. But also just kind of run ideas off each other, understand what we all go through. So, and from there we picked up, you know, we again, this AI conversation, I really want to kind of run with it and see what we can get out of it.
Absolutely. We actually were there too. It was our first time there at the Philly one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Were you specifically there?
Yes. I'm one of the planners.
Were?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was there too. We probably.
So how did I not run into you?
That's so funny. Yeah, that was our first time there. It was a really good conference.
And did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. It was nice that it was local. That was the first conference I've gone to that was local to where I am.
Yeah, it's great. Next year we'll be in Tampa. So maybe Tampa. You come back and, you know, we like the first timers to be second timers. So we want you to come back next year. So hopefully you're there.
Yeah, for sure. Robert, it's been so great speaking with you today. Before we sign off, is there anything else that you would like to share that we didn't cover?
You know, I think this has been great. I always, you know, like to talk and talk shop with people and you know, get everybody's take on it. You know, I'm always willing to, you know, be out there and talking about it. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I appreciate it as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.